This morning, I have the privilege to welcome our special speaker, Pastor Amer Yonas. Pastor Amer serves as the Evangelical Free Church Prairie District Church planter. Pastor Amer began his work planting a church in Northeast Calgary at the end of 2024. He is married to Nadia, and they have four children together. He studied at Prairie College in Three Hills and earned a diploma in evangelism and discipleship, and a Bachelor of Arts in Pastoral. In May 2024, he completed an MA in Theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. So at this time, I'll have Pastor Amer come and bring God's word for us this morning.
Good morning, brother. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good morning to you all. It is a profound joy for me to be here with God's people at Brooks Church. Thank you for joining today to come out and listen to the Missions Week. It's really should be all about Palm Sunday, because it is a Palm Sunday, a very important week in the church calendar. Nonetheless, everything the Bible has to say is about the risen Lord. But before he was a risen Lord, he was a suffering servant of Christ, the suffering servant of the Lord. And in his suffering is the most difficult part where people have trouble to understand really who Christ is. Unless their eyes are opened by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and by preaching of God's word. Because both the Holy Spirit is in the business of opening people's eyes to the reality of their sinfulness and their shortcoming before the great King. And same is the work of the Holy Scriptures to talk about its Messiah. All Scriptures point to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said that all the Scriptures written about me or written about the suffering servant must come true, so that all the law will be fulfilled in the true Adam. Because the first Adam failed to glorify God, the first Adam led all humanity, you and me, everybody in the past and everybody in the future, away from the glory of God and from the benevolence of God. Yet this new Adam, the second Adam, came to fulfill all the law. All the law on your behalf, on my behalf. He paid the price for all of your sins and my sins, sins that were done in the past, sins that are done in the present, sins that will be done in the future. What a glory, what a God. You and I don't know even what sin we will commit down the road, yet they are forgiven in Christ. Such is a marvelous God we have. So, brothers and sisters, my desire today among us is to exalt Jesus Christ. Because it is He who alone is worthy of all of our praise and worthy to be given such a time when there are God's people gathered together to listen. So I want to make it all about Jesus Christ. So shall we bow our heads as we dig into that? Our dear gracious God, thank you for the privilege to be here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will encourage our hearts, that all of us will be able to draw close to you today as we open your word, as we look, as we hear, as we see the things you want us to see. Father, exalt your name high among us. Thank you for the mission team going to Mexico. Bless them. Thank you for the singing team that has led us in wonderful worship of you, the mysterious God, the mysterious King. Through your mysteries, you have brought clarity to us, the clarity that we are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you. I thank you for each and every person here, that you may bless us, that you may draw us near to you. And if anyone is struggling in their faith or about their faith, I pray that you may, Lord, especially touch them and encourage their hearts to be strengthened, and don't be dismayed that they have believed in the truth and the hope that will never fail them, that will never fail us. So thank you for such a wonderful promise and for such a wonderful Savior. It is in his worthy name I pray. Amen. So the talk I want to give today is on John 14, 1 to 6. It is definitely not a text from exact moment of the Palm Sunday arrival, yet it is part of the greater discourse that took place in the upper room. So we can actually imagine it to be part of the Palm Sunday ministry, Palm Sunday service of Jesus Christ to his disciples. But before we do that, I want to tell a little bit more about our own work, who am I and what we are up to. We are very thankful that through the EFC, we are appointed to do a church plant in Northeast Calgary. Now, if you've been to Northeast Calgary, you would know that it would feel different to you, particularly white Caucasian Canadian. You would feel, you know, kind of, as I can see that my family has added some color to your church today, you know, you will be going to a lot of color there. And so you can, it is unnecessary for me to explain to you that what a mission ground God has brought to Alberta and to Canada in Northeast Calgary. There are lots of immigrants. And immigration is a problem in Canada. As an immigrant myself, I wanna say that this is exactly what I myself is feeling. Wow, this government did something very wrong here. They have actually brought so many people. They opened the door wide so people could come in. They had no planning, and anybody and everybody could come in. And people have come in seeking the American dream, not knowing that it's very hard to achieve that dream. Yet those people have no other hope in this world. They want to achieve that hope. They want to achieve that dream no matter what it costs. And it is costing them a lot. It is costing them more than what they signed up for. So immigration is a problem, but church always have a different response to the crisis and the situations that come up before us in this world. And the opportunity that you and I as a church have is, Lord, I thank you that these people, I don't have to go and reach them. They are here. How can I minister to them? And that's exact desire my wife and I had, is that, Lord, use us for this particular work here in Canada. I very much believe preparation for my ministry in Canada, you know, God has brought me to put me outside of my own box. You know, I don't feel that I just need to go and work with one particular group of people. No, I believe that I need to work with God's people, whoever they are. Whatever tool God give me, whatever, you know, I have, I want to share with other Christians. I want to go be a blessing and be blessed by my fellow Christians as well. But there is a need, and there are certain seasons of our lives when we have to go and to fulfill that need, and when we feel that God is calling me to fulfill that need. So my desire, you know, 2 years ago was that, Lord, open the door for us to go and give a hand in ministry with international immigrants here, particularly from India, Pakistan. That's where most of the immigrants are, in Northeast Calgary, yet you find people from all over the world now. So God opened that door through EFCC. We thought that we're going to go in and there is a church building provided to us and we're going to fill that building with people. It's going to look like something what looks here in the present. But to our surprise, when we got there, we went to a very dry land. We went to a place where there is so much challenge and opposition to the gospel. And so it's easy for somebody to be dismayed, but yet I knew that, you know, the gospel shines the brighter when there is greater darkness. And so we thought, wow, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here. Show us the way. And so in our, you know, struggle and in relationship making, one of the downer for our start was that we did not have a team that we were going to. EFCC provided us, you know, the opportunity to go in and to support us financially and to provide us a building, but there was no team. So we had to build up a team. We had to build up, you know, a little team that will buy into our vision, you know, that will say, yes, we want to see God reach these immigrants. And in his generosity, God provided those friends who are coming and helping us regularly in our approach there. So a little bit of the demographic there, it's a highly populated area with the immigrants and particularly, you know, immigrants who doesn't have permanent status to be in Canada. So you see people who are always on the go. They are like making all the, spending all of their time making the struggle to survive. And so it really becomes a very difficult place to work with, you know, young people there. And, you know, soon you learn to be compassionate to them because, wow, these people are here. Now they are making, you know, their best to meet the goal. And so how do we minister to them? We start approaching people. I'm pretty good at that. I'm not afraid of strangers. I'm not afraid of people. I love people, you know. And so, you know, start approaching them. And slowly God gave us, you know, the opportunity to befriend some people in the area. And from there, God opened the door for us to take the gospel to them. And God has started something very beautiful in Northeast Calgary. Now, our work is truly a drop in a bucket in that area. You know, and but I thank God that there is presence of God's people there. And I'm so thankful to God that my four children, my wife, and I have the opportunity to be in the marketplace, to be among the nations and tell them who we are. Some of the pictures I provided to show, I didn't want to work too much with the PowerPoint just to save time. I want to be sensitive to the time that is allotted to my talk here as well. So some of these people that we have befriended is totally a ministry for us. One particular fella that I love to share about, this Sikh man, he comes from India. He's been in Canada for 15 years. His son opened him a business in Northeast Calgary, and he's never met anybody outside of his, you know, customer relationship or in his shop. He have 10 people working for him. One day my wife and I, in a wintry morning, we were standing out there walking around to find somebody to talk to us, and this man was looking at us through his window. And he came out and he approached my wife Nadia. He said, "Wow," he said, I haven't seen somebody with so much peace on their face. He said, "Can I talk to your wife?" I said, "Yes, sure, you can talk to my wife." So he approached my wife and we had this little conversation, and I told him that we are Christians. I could see that. He could see the peace of Christ among us because we were saturated with prayer. We were covered, you know, by prayers of our fellow brothers and sisters who pray for us regularly. And we knew that the Holy Spirit is working among us, in us, because we want to introduce Christ to somebody. So he could see the right thing, the peace of Christ. Because that why Christians carry wherever we go, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. And so he came out, he talked to Nadia, and we started sharing about Christ, and I told him about our work, and he invited us into his shop. And he told us he's never met a Christian. His son drops him at the work, picks him up in the evening. He does not know the rest of the world outside of his work and his home. And we said, "Well, we are here in Calgary. We come here every week. Can we come visit you?" And he said, "You come visit me, not only me, but," he said, "tell me about your word, what you are all about. I want to hear about Christianity." And then he started inviting his workers to come and sit and listen to us. 10 of them. And we were in a warm shop at his time and working with his employees and also served tea by him as well. He's become our weekly connection in Northeast Calgary. And if we miss any week, as we were coming to Brooks today, he called me yesterday to find out how are we doing, because we are praying for one specific need he have. He's in a need of surgery. And I said, "We are praying, people. We pray for people in Christ's name." So this man is getting to hear the gospel from us, and the men and women working for him as well. We thank God for that. We hear those stories again and again where people say, "Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, okay, I've never met a Christian. Well, you know, I work with some white people, but they don't talk about Christ. I have questions about Christianity." So suddenly our ministry has actually become an apologetic ministry, which is truly a privilege and a pleasure to not only share the gospel, to defend the gospel, and I add one more thing through my experience, is to leave them without an excuse. You know, Paul talks about this in Romans 1, 22, 23. He said, "Lord, the things that are needs to be known are known to them in the creation, but yet they suppress the truth because they hate God. They will continue to hate God. But they cannot say to God, 'Well, God, if you truly love me, I never get to hear the gospel. Nobody was there to answer my questions about you.' And the Lord will say, 'No, no, 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 no. My son or my child did answer your questions back then and there.'" So we are also making the world without excuse. And that's been an encouragement to me, because often I find so much pushback to the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel that Christ died 2,000 years ago, and this person who died as a criminal 2,000 years ago, how could he save me today? How could just simply saying this, that yes, Jesus, I believe that I put my trust in you, that you have saved, forgave my sins through your death and through your resurrection, I have a new life. They said, it's very hard for me to really buy that. No, you want to buy this? Doesn't this sound good? Don't you want it to be true? Don't you want something like this? Because the self-effort doesn't take you anywhere. You have tried it. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a marvelous experience to speak to people when you get those type of pushback and how much strength and, strength we got for our own faith. And how often it has encouraged me to continue to bring the message. So such an opportunity, I can share with you the stories of our ministry and work there. But I can say this with much gratitude in my heart, that I would rather be doing what we are doing right now in this season of our life than anything else. And I thank God that we have this opportunity, because there is somebody, a family, our family, who's letting their light shine in that very dark place. So you please continue to pray for us that the Lord will bring the harvest. We have upcoming week is very important and busy for us, as we have organized a couple of outreaches, and we are inviting people who are particularly wondering about the Passion Week, the story of Christ, because if you know that many of the Muslims would deny the sufferings of Christ and his humiliation, and they said it wasn't Christ, it was somebody else on behalf of Christ who suffered, but God's prophet cannot suffer like this, such a humiliation. And so we are going to point them to the true Christ, that it was him who died, who suffered on our behalf, on the behalf of sinners. So please pray that God will bring some harvest through that effort as well. This is our ministry. You can ask me more questions afterwards. And now we want to turn to the living and active word of God. John 14, 1 to 6 is the text that God laid on my heart to share with you. And two of the reasons I want to do that. For one thing, to make it about Jesus Christ in his Palm Sunday ministry to his apostles. And number two, to encourage us to continue to carry on the mission of Christ. Carry on the mission of Christ. It is no less privilege any human being can have than to have the privilege to be enlisted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can all be very proudful if we are working for the government, we have a high profile job, or we work for a big company and hold some sort of a status. Sometimes pastors feel like that, you know, wow, I'm the pastor here. But I tell you, it's nothing comparing to the simple truth that I am enlisted by Jesus Christ. I am his ambassador. I work for Christ. I live for him. I glorify him. So we may all be encouraged through this mission week that, wow, the Lord is my Lord, and I am his ambassador. I am his missionary, no matter where he puts me or whatever my situation is. So John 14, 1 to 6, very familiar text. Dear text to many of us Christians, even a very dear text to my own heart, because upon this text, God opened my heart 20 years ago to believe in his holy name. And so this is very personal text as well. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. This is one of the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ that is hated by the public arena. In the public arena, if you make that statement, you will be segregated, you will be pushed to the wall, you will be rejected completely. This is true all over Canada. This is true right in Northeast Calgary. I was comforting one family that we've been ministering to, because their child has been going to the child care, and they've been teaching him about the Hindu way of life and the Hinduism, and they've been teaching him about their holy days. This past week, he came home with a bunch of stuff about Muslim Ramadan and Eid, and they sent him, and he wanted to talk about the Islamic God and all of that, and one of the struggles he presented to his parent was his trust in God's sovereignty, that how can God see everything? Doesn't he have two eyes as you and I have two eyes? So how can his eyes be everywhere? So this young mother is trying to comfort her child, telling him that God doesn't see the way we see. He is God, we are not. But the boy is shaken in his faith in the Christian God. So the mother approached the daycare and she asked them that, I am not pleased that you are teaching my children about all of these things. For one thing, he's too young and he should not be taught these things. Why are you doing this? She said, well, madam, we are in a multicultural society. We need to do that. And then the next thing she asked, are you going to talk about Easter? And she said, no, I'm not allowed to talk about Christian stuff. She said, even the fact that they are going to have a time off during that time, so they are out of that trouble. She's heartbroken because she knew that the hope for the little children is only with Jesus, because it is only Jesus who said, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. No other prophet, no other religious system loves the children the way Christ loves them and the way he accepts them. So this young mother is going to make little boxes for, she counted how many children are there. She's going to make something for them as a gift, you know, Easter-driven gift, where she's going to have a little message and then she's going to give it to each child there. Praise the Lord. She's going to do that. She found her mission activity right then and there. She found her challenge for Christ to be known right then and there. She did not give up. She said, well, oh, what can I do? They're going to close it. Too bad. I'm mad. And that's all. Let's go home. She said, no, I got to do something about it. I got to make it all about Christ. And how I'm going to do is, this world pushes us away. I'm going to try to push in. I'm going to make all the effort to make Christ to be known. Praise the Lord. Pray for this young mother, that God will give her success in that. So the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ is the only hope this world has. Yet it is the most hated statement. Why? Because the world does not want the Savior, the type of Savior that God offers to the world. Because of the human pride, because of the man-made religion, because of what man thinks is better than what God provides. So brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian today, rejoice in your salvation. Praise be to God that you are a Christian. You have a Savior who invites you through his shed blood, who will take you home through his cross, through his suffering. So the exclusive claim of Christ is the only hope this world have. Yet this is hated because we have a real enemy that is working against God's people and God's church. However, we cannot be so bogged down with the enemy's attack that we forget that we work for the victorious Lord. One of the things that has encouraged me in my own Christian walk is that I am not running toward victory. I am running with victory because Christ the victorious in me. The world does not know that. They can bring their challenge to us, yet we can say, Lord, I thank you that you are with me and you will be with me till the end. So three things go home with that I want to bring to our attention. Our mission should be about the suffering of our Savior. If we want to be missionary for Christ, we need to talk about his suffering. Because you see, this world is suffering so much. It is in pain and agony, yet what the culture teaches about pain and suffering is to deny it. The culture of North America teaches, if you are suffering, if you are in pain, look for alternatives. Run away from it. Look for distractions. And how many distractions are out there? Hundreds and thousands. Yet, we are the only people who can bring the suffering world to this suffering Savior. No other religious system can speak about their God and about their prophets the way we can talk about God's only Son. All other religions talk about the greatness of their God. Oh, my God did this, and my God did this, and my God provided me this blessing and that blessing, and he's this and that. But nobody talks about the meekness, the suffering of God's Son taken upon himself on the behalf of his people. I had an opportunity to speak to one professor from India. She was here in Calgary just for 1 week because her daughter, whom we've been ministering, been here for 2 years, and she decided not to go back. So the mother was worried about her daughter, so she flew here for 1 week, and we were able to host her for a supper. And during our supper conversation, we talked to her about Christ. And she said, you know what? I'm so glad I'm talking to somebody, you know, that can answer my questions. I have some questions about Christianity. And I said, yeah, let's try. Maybe I can help you understand that. So one of the questions in our conversation, she asked me, she said, well, you Christians believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I said, yes, we do not only believe, but that's the only hope we have. If Christ wouldn't have resurrected from the dead, then there is no Christian message. And she said, well, one of our God was dead, and he rose back to life. So what's the difference? How Jesus is different than my Rama? I said, well, madam, he's different in one sense and one alone. Your Rama came back to life. What does he give you? I said, my Jesus came back to life and he offers us the same life he have. Eternal life. Eternal life. There is no match between Jesus and any other God. Because all other God came back to life so they can show off. But Christ came back to life so he can give life and life abundant. He said, well, to me, it sounds like, you know, your God was defeated. And I said, you are absolutely right. He was a defeated God. And again, and in that moment, actually, I understood that, you know, we Christians are the only people who can actually talk about suffering and pain and meekness because our God became meek and sufferer for our sake. If he wouldn't have no Christ to point to, you and I cannot resonate with the world. The Christian message would not resonate with you and me because we are suffering saints as well. We suffer in many ways, different ways. So the suffering of Christ should be part of our missional approach to help the suffering world know that there is somebody who can resonate with you. There is somebody who invites you. He will comfort you because he knows you. He is not a lofty God up there as the Greeks believe that gods don't mingle with human beings. They are up there. They let the man do their things. And, you know, you just enjoy it. No worries about gods. Just don't offend them. No, this God became so weak, so humble that he was incepted. Through his inception, he became this tiny fetus. He humbled himself so much, lowered to the need that a baby would have. And those of us who are mothers and fathers understand that, wow, what a need that little child have. This is his humility. He became human because there was no other way to pay for your salvation and my salvation, because Adam has to fulfill all the law. And because the first Adam broke all the law, you and I have broken all the laws of God. Now, praise God that he provided his own son, the second Adam, to do that. And it was only possible through the call of duty that was above and beyond the call of duty. And that was for Jesus to become a sufferer for us. So in our missional approach, let's not forget about talking about the suffering Christ, the suffering Messiah. Number two I want to bring to our attention is that our mission to the world should be about the consequent glories of the Savior. The gospel is not a good news if Christ would have stayed dead. So Christ died, truly died, and he was truly resurrected from the dead. And because of his resurrection, the man on the road to Emmaus came rushing back, 7 miles on foot to each side, to bring that news. Wow, Christ, he suffered, but there is a consequent glory of that. He said all the scriptures must fulfilled about Christ, and now he's resurrected from the dead. Blessed be God, he is truly risen. And then Christ himself came among them, and he said, peace be to you. Peace be to you. We have a resurrected Lord who's seated at the right hand of the Father as our mediator. How do I know Christ? You know, the question can be asked to Christians. Oh, you Christians say Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Where is he? Show me Jesus. Bring him on. What would we do? I can bring on Jesus. Come, Jesus, stand here. Will you please show them yourself? No, we bring on Jesus by saying that God the Father has sent his Son to die on our behalf, and then he's went back to his glories because that's what he prayed. Now is my soul troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus Christ, the glorified Savior, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Our salvation is not human-based, neither human plan. That's why you and I cannot bring Jesus to stand here, but we can show Jesus through our lives, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because that's what Christ is doing in his revelation, in his fulfillment of before the consummation of our salvation. So the resurrected Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father because Jesus himself said, it is better for me to go so that the helper would come in my name. So we can point people that there is a mediator. We don't have to do all the efforts to, you know, hurt ourselves, to pay alms and to do the impossible in order to be heard before God. No, God hears us because we have our advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This is part of the consequent glories of Jesus. And then never forget in our approach to say that this humiliated God, King, who became human on our behalf, died on our behalf, and is resurrected from the dead, is soon coming back. Is soon coming back. Never forget that Jesus Christ is coming back to claim his bride and to judge the living and the dead. We must tell people, you want to escape that judgment. Because this Lamb of God is coming to be as a Lion of God, who he always was, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's coming back. Let's not forget that based on as we share the gospel and as we become missional for God's glory. And number three, I want to bring to our attention is that our mission to the world should be the praise and glory of the risen Lord among the nations. Praise and glory of the risen Lord among the nations. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, is that it is heartbreaking for all of us, and many of us are maybe some of you as well, that you've been trying your best to share the gospel with someone, praying for somebody earnestly that they will come to know the Lord, yet their hearts are hardened. They don't want to humble themselves to accept the forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and yet they want to make their way to the heaven by in their own efforts. Or the best, they said, well, if God is truly love, then why doesn't he just accept me as I am? If God is truly love, then why does he have to smack me, judge me? If God is truly love, then why doesn't he just make it simple for people that he overthrow his forgiveness? You see, those are all human ideas. Those are all human philosophies of where to impose on God. Yet God is God. God is God. And in his wisdom, he cannot overrule or overlook one of his attributes for the sake of the other. He is perfect in himself. It is true, our God is love. There is nothing less. No, we cannot even comprehend what does that love mean except through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet, my brothers and sisters, God is also a just king, a righteous judge. He must judge. And that's the plea we must have with others, that come, you can have his mercy because there is still time. Yet they might harden their hearts. Nonetheless, it should not lead us to any despair, thinking, oh, maybe the gospel is not powerful enough, oh, maybe something is wrong with me. No, we must, even in that moment, live and give glory and praise to our only God. And how often we Christians don't do that? How often we Christians don't do that? There are those who don't believe and would not believe. Can we take the comfort in the fact that, Lord, I'm not going to let these people or this moment or this opportunity rob me of the glory that is due to your name? That I want to glorify you. I want my life to look the praise and glory of God. And my brothers and sisters, if we constantly do that, this becomes the most contagious thing than even in our sharing of the gospel. Because those people see that, wow, there is God among them. There is God in him or her. And when the right moment comes, we don't know, but we hope that even before their last breath, that they would turn to that God just because they have watched you and me giving glory and praise to God. Maybe it happened in that quiet moment where they are passing into eternity. Or maybe it happens right here in the church podium where they shout on the top of their lungs, you know what? My brother or sister was constant loving me in the name of Jesus, giving God glory without compromise. That encouraged me, and God opened my heart to put my trust in him, and that's why I'm here. So our mission should be the praise and the glory of the risen Lord among the nations. And number three that I want to elaborate in the same sense is that our life should be lived as a victorious life. You know, there are many of us Christians, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but some of us Christians are downers. You know, we are just like, wow, we are Christians and we gather together and we wonder who's died? Did somebody died here? Like, where is the joy of the Lord? How can we comfort each other? How can we encourage each other? We must live victorious life. Now, that does not mean LOL. That's not what it means, the victorious life in Christ. The victorious life in Christ is that no matter what the situation is, but we know exactly how to act and how to what we should be doing in that season or in that moment of life. If we are among those who are hurting, we would know that we are carrying the presence of Christ to them. We will know what the right word should be. We will know how the Lord would have comforted him or her in that moment. And you know, that brings victory. How does it bring victories? Because we are helping somebody get their eyes off of the situation onto the Lord. Onto the Lord. How often, even in my own life, I need somebody to help me see through the fog and see through the glories of God, the promises of God, the victories that are ours because of Christ victorious. So our praise and glory of the risen Lord among the nation should be a life of victory, the life of joy, the life of understanding that there are many things that I don't understand. There are many things happen to me and to my loved ones or somebody I know that there are so many why questions in our mind, but we don't have all the answers. But can we rest in God and say, let's give God glory even for that? Well, we know one person who did that all the time, Apostle Paul. He did God glory all the time. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. So are you conduit of that grace in your missional approach? And that is only possible through knowing that we are living victorious. And then the final point I want to bring to our attention under this, our mission to the world should be the praise and glory of the risen Lord among the nation, is that living with the urgency, of always ready to share the hope within us. Brothers and sisters, we Christians cannot think that, oh, like the people who were thinking at Peter's time in the Pontiac and in the Galatian regions that, well, his promise has been like that from the beginning. He said that Christ is coming, but look, it's been 100 years now. He hasn't come. Can we be, maybe some of us are like those, well, it's been 2026. Christ hasn't come there, so I can relax. Maybe he's not coming anytime soon, so I can plan for next 50 years and plan this and that. Or are we living with the urgency that Christ, if you come today or tomorrow or any moment, Lord, that I'm not living out of the urgency of that moment, but in the obedience because you call me to live in that urgency every day of my life. And you know, the most thing that affect that urgency or living with that urgency of Christ's return is maybe not to the world, but to your inner being, to the inner man. To the inner man, because we get strengthened every day when I live with that urgency. I'm not a preacher of that who goes out and give out people dates of when Christ is coming. Even though I know the date, I'll keep it to myself. That's kidding, just kidding. Yet, you know, Jesus Christ is coming anytime, and I want to live with that urgency every day for the strengthening of my inner man. That I am prepared for him. And then with that urgency for the church and the body of Christ. That Christ is coming back. And then the promise will be fulfilled. I will come back to take you to myself. Then we won't be confused like Thomas. Lord, we even don't know where you are going. How do I know the way? Because Thomas could not see beyond what was immediate. The immediate suffering that the apostles had before them, that their rabbi, the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's able to raise the dead, is going to die a humiliated death. And we, his followers, will have the same fate. Lord, what are you talking about? Judas betrayed him because Jesus said, I had enough of this king. I don't want to follow this king. He betrayed Jesus. He went out and he said, get away with him. He's not talking the way I want him to talk. He's not doing the things I want him to do. He's not the type of king I would like to be subjected to. Yet, questions are okay with Jesus. Giving up on Jesus is never okay. Thomas had that question, and then he received this great promise for you and me and for the church till the end. I will come back and take you to myself. In my Father's house are many rooms. Brothers and sisters, Jesus told the Pharisees that my Father is always working, I must work too. I do not say beyond what the Father tells me to say. So we can trust in Jesus' words because his words were not his own words in human form, but these words were given by God the Father who cannot lie and God the Son who proclaimed that to us, who is the creator and the sustainer of everything. So this creator and sustainer calls us to his mission. He calls us to himself. And guess what? You are not alone. Every other master on this earth, every other religious systems leave its followers on their own. We are the only blessed people who have such a master who sent us to do his work, yet he comes with us. Yet he comes with us. So you and I are not alone. Are you doing missions in your own effort? Please stop it. Bend your knee to the master and ask him, Lord, if you do not go, I am not going. If you do not come, I will not come. Lord, be with me. Give me that presence so that I may carry you wherever I go. And again, brother, one of the challenging missions is that nobody's taking Jesus anywhere. Neither the Mexico team from this church is taking Jesus anywhere. Jesus is always everywhere. He's already there. He's already there. You are just going to partner with him what he's already doing. So such is our God, such is our message. We Christians have mission because we have a message. If there is no message, there is no mission. And that message, because we are preaching to the dying world, we must live with the urgency. We must be bold. We must be clear. And at the end of the day, if it does not work with something or somebody, let us give God glory. For your life, for my life, for the church's life, for your salvation and for the salvation of others. Yet let's make this our goal that, Lord, help me bring people to this saving faith. Help me, Lord. If you have lacked grace for others, ask God for more of it. If you have lacked love for someone, ask God for more of it. If you lack passion, ask more of it. He will give it. He's a giving God, and he gives more than beyond what we ask or hope for. Such is our gracious Savior. He's worthy. He's worthy. So let's continue to minister Him in our own lives, in our own families, to our neighbors, to the people around us, and to the nations. May God bless you. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, the only Savior needed for this world was your Son, and you so graciously sent your Son, and the Son came because the reward for Him was that He will gain many brothers and sisters. Oh, I am God's child. I am His brother. Thank you, Lord. We are His brothers. We are His children. Make us more thankful to rejoice in you, to rejoice in our great salvation, and never lose sight of that the Lord was gracious. He wants others to come to that saving faith. Make us that conduit of taking your message with the hope and the boldness that we need. Oh, Father, we give you thank you for this Easter week. Bless this church. Bless the pastors, the missions team again, every mom and dad here, and every grandparents, that we may never lose sight of that we are missionaries to each other as well. So help us, Lord, to speak the truth and the love of Christ into each other's life and bring to memory the promises of our great Savior. It is in His mighty name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.